Friday, 22nd of March, 2024. Maybe today. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Acts 26:6. A literal rendering of the Greek is, "And now, upon a hope, the promise unto the fathers, a promise having been made by God, I have stood being judged." CG. Paul's previous words to Agrippa were about his conduct before the Lord, having lived according to the strictest sect of Judaism, being a Pharisee. Having said that, he now says that the very hope of the Pharisee is the reason for his present state. He indicates this with the words, "and now, upon a hope." Paul says, "ep elpidi," upon a hope. It gives the sense of upon the basis of a hope. There is no definite article before hope in the Greek. It is a noun, not a verb, which will be qualified as he continues. Hence, it is a hope. In other words, this was not the only hope the fathers possessed, but it was certainly the key hope. It was the hope called out in Acts 23:6, and which will again be explicitly stated in verse 26:8. It is the hope of the resurrection. This is a hope that the Pharisees possessed. The Sadducees did not, Acts 23:8, and so it explains why he singled out his life as a Pharisee in his explanation of his past. With that stated, he next explains the hope he is referring to, saying, "the promise unto the fathers." The Greek anticipates the word promise. Literally, it says, "the unto the fathers." It defines what the hope he is referring to is. It is something given to the fathers. Some texts here include the word "our," saying "our fathers." As the hope was originally given to Adam in Genesis 3:15, it would ultimately include everyone in attendance. If Paul is only speaking to the Jews, then it would be referring to others only in a particular line. The latter, although it is what Paul will more fully explain in the coming verse, seems unlikely for several reasons. First, the hope was, in fact, given to Adam. It was not specifically stated later to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. As such, Paul's words, "our fathers," would have to then be referring to those who received the law. At that time, the specific promise was given. "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." Leviticus 18:5. Secondly, the promise of the resurrection remained a hope for non-Hebrew people, even at the time of Job. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job 19:25 to 27. In Job 1 and 2, he and those with this hope were called sons of God, meaning that they were accepted by God because of their faith. A counter-argument to this will be stated later. Despite the inclusion of the word "our" in some manuscripts, the thought is understandable enough. As for this hope Paul is referring to, which is based upon the promise, Paul next says it is a promise having been made by God. God spoke of the coming Messiah in Genesis 3. It can be inferred that Adam understood that what he had lost, meaning life, would be restored to him from the naming of his wife, Eve. The Hebrew name is Chava, life. Adam demonstrated faith in the restoration of life by naming her Eve. With that, God covered them with skins of animals, thus making a picture of what God would do in Christ. Adam accepted the promise, as did others after him. Even as late as Job, there were people who accepted it. However, the world eventually forgot the knowledge of the true God, to the point where he again intervened in human affairs by calling Moses and giving Israel the law through him. The words of Leviticus 18:5 were a sure promise to the people. "Do this, and you will live." However, the history of Israel showed that nobody could do the things of the law. Generations came and generations departed in death. Eventually, God spoke through Habakkuk to clarify the matter. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2:4. God was telling Israel that they could not meet the demands of the law. This was, from the very start, evidenced in the fact that they were given the Day of Atonement. It was a day set aside for the forgiveness of sins. Everyone had to observe it, meaning that everyone needed that atonement. And it was a day based solely on faith that God was forgiving them. Law observance without faith leads to pride. However, faith alone is what brought forgiveness of sin. Paul understood this. And so the hope was actually more than simply the resurrection. Rather, the hope of the resurrection is ultimately based on the messianic promise of a coming Redeemer. Most people believe they are going to heaven. However, without the coming of the Messiah, that could not happen. Only in the coming of Jesus is the hope truly realized. Paul knew this, and he placed himself completely at the mercy of God in Christ. It is for this promise that he next says, I have stood, being judged. The verb is a perfect participle. He stood, being judged, and he continued to stand, being judged. He would not waver in his convictions, even after 2 years in chains, nor would he ever waver in them. His hope of the resurrection was based on his faith that Jesus is the resurrection, as he himself stated. Responding to Martha's words at the grave of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. John 11:25. Paul stood as an accused man for speaking of this hope. He was being judged for his stand. He would not waver in his stand, even if it meant death. Where do you stand? Life application. Earlier, it was noted that a counter-argument to who the fathers is referring to would be given. Job was cited to show that the resurrection was his hope. However, Paul says this in Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:11-13. Paul says that the Gentiles were without hope, and this is true. With the introduction of the law, the hope of God in Christ was narrowed down to this group of people. Those outside of it were excluded from the promise. This was not God being arbitrary and unfair. Rather, the world had sufficiently turned from him that without his intervention once again into the stream of human existence, there would have been no knowledge of him left at all. This is evident based on his words to Abraham about the turning of the Amorites in Genesis 15:16. They were a people group like any other. Eventually, like all peoples, they turned from God so far that they needed to be eliminated. All other countries have followed this pattern. Israel was given grace when they were given the law. That may sound contradictory, but without that happening, they too would have faced God's hand of wrath. As noted above, the law provides mercy through the Day of Atonement. Thus, even if it is a law, it came by God's grace. The intent of the time of the law was to lead Israel, and indeed the whole world, to the understanding of the need for Jesus. Paul explains that in details in Galatians. In the next verse, Paul will note that the 12 tribes of the Jews earnestly served God because of this promise. However, that does not mean that it was only given to them. Rather, it is probable that they had simply become the focus of it as it led to the coming Messiah. Therefore, whether Paul was ultimately referring to Adam and those like him, or only the fathers who received the law, the same truth exists. The just shall live by faith. Adam did, Enoch did, Job did, and Abraham did as well. Such was the case with David and Samson, and such was the case with Paul. The Jews who accused him are excluded from the promise because they fail to seek out God through his provision of Jesus. Don't be like them. It is time for you to decide where you will hang your hat. Will you cling to the law and try to make God happy through your own effort? Or will you trust in Jesus, who has done it all, so that you can stand justified before God based on faith in him? Choose wisely. Choose life. Choose God's forgiveness found only in Christ. Lord God, how grateful we are to you for our Lord and Saviour Jesus. We put all our hope, trust and faith in him. Hallelujah and Amen. Now I am on trial.
Now I am trial.
Because I hope for the promise.
But I hope to the promise.
That God made to our ancestors.
That God made to our ancestors.
Great.
Now I am on trial because I hope for the promise that God made to our ancestors.
Wonderful.
Acts 26, verse 6.
Thank you.